a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Inside the dome, but that's not going to change Alex's mind.
Alex Bregman goes deep to left field and gone! He continues his incredible tear. Bregman hits number 18 on the year. And the Astros jump in front 1-0.
That's a heck of a way to celebrate winning player of the week, is getting off to an electric start by hitting a bomb here in Tampa Bay. Bregy bomb on the board.
Bregman's on a tear. He's the AL player of the week for last week. Good way to start this week. Yordan Alvarez is on a tear. Yiner Diaz is on a tear. The Astros offense is on a tear. Framber Valdez is on a tear. All Astros starting pitchers are on a strikeout tear. Everything is going well for your Houston Astros after yet another win yesterday. Half a game ahead of the Mariners in the American League West. Six straight wins and a season best 500. Get chesty with me right now. 3, 2, 1. Bellow it at the top of your lungs.
I was ready to go swarm.
I was like, actually wasn't sure what we were about to say.
No.
I almost said swarm too.
That's for the Texans. We sound like we're DMX with the Houston Astros.
Where my dogs at? Right. Die. What you really want? What you really want? Hey, straight ALCS. What you really want?
Okay, we're done. Sorry.
I think I need a whole song. I mean, let's get you in the recording studio.
We're just riffing there. But get chesty. The Astros are doing everything right. I expect this to last for at least another week. Mm-hmm. And then things are going to get really difficult. But you got to feel good going into that stretch a lot better than you did about a week ago, where the Astros offense was not getting it done at the plate. They were letting the starting pitching down. Starting pitching has been the hero of this season for the Astros. Now the bats are finally waking up. Kyle Tucker's not even back. And that stretch of the order with Bregman and Yordan and Diaz is truly terrifying right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the scariest groups of players you can have in baseball right now with the way they're hitting.
I mean, it really is. And the Yankees are like, we got Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah.
They lost to the White Sox.
Yeah, that's right.
And number one, mention Jose Altuve.
One more time?
We didn't even mention Jose Altuve.
That's right.
Like, he's not like on a heater like these other guys are, but he's 9-for-26 in his last six games. So, like, he's still playing very well. Like, it's just,
he just hasn't been hitting for power as much as those guys. And I mean, Yiner's home run smashed it. Preggy's home run killed it too.
And you know, when you're talking about the schedule, like this is what you have to take advantage of this, because the way the Mariners are playing now, they're staying on pace with you. But you play the Rays, who tore it down. You have the chance to put them below 500 today, and then you play the White Sox for three games before you start up with Boston and Baltimore and Kansas City. So you got to take advantage of this stretch. And we do feel better. You should feel better about going into these next couple series, because what you just did to Boston, and you see them again, I wouldn't expect the exact same results. To beat Boston six straight times is unrealistic. But you know, you have Boston, then you have Baltimore, who you've also swept, and then you have Kansas City up after that. So the confidence should be there. And Justin Verlander, Joe Espada just said on the flagship today, he's making his next rehab start on Thursday for Corpus Christi. So if the timeline works out, then Justin Verlander will be back on the Houston Astros next Wednesday? Something like that?
Everything is unfolding as I have foreseen.
But the Empire loses.
Not in my mind. We think the Rebel Alliance was going to be able to deal with all the many crises of the galaxy. I don't know. Seems like the Rebel Alliance was running around with its head cut off after overthrowing the Galactic Empire.
Yeah, they did lose control pretty quickly.
Were things all that bad in the Galactic Empire?
Probably not.
Were they all that bad?
No, I mean,
trains ran on time.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I'd say we give the First Order a shot. They seem to have some good ideas.
I mean, listen, what did the Empire really do that was all that bad other than killing all the Jedi? Other than that.
They did blow up a planet.
Yeah, but I mean Alderaan had it coming.
That's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was only one planet. First Order blew up the whole galaxy.
And they destroyed it. But they innovated with technology.
Because
they built a Death Star in the middle of a planet, and it worked. So, you know.
We've changed our minds on a lot of things, Houston Astros, of late. I'm curious if people have started to change their mind on Dana Brown. We roasted Dana Brown for saying this on May 8th. Dana Brown, while with Brian Kenny on the MLB Network, had this to say when asked whether or not the Astros would be sellers at the trade deadline.
I think the production's coming. I think our guys are two professionals. They're good players. I can't predict any scenario where we become sellers. I think the team is too good. I think the key here is win this series, get back to 500. Once you get back to 500 and you start to roll, you get a winning streak of 5 here, 7 here, 10 there. Before you know it, you know, you're 8 to 10 games over 500. And so it's a long season. I'm reminded of when I was in Atlanta, we were down 10 games in June, you know, to the Mets, and we ran them down.
Lisa Nagaib!
He was right. He basically nailed it.
What is incredible is all of those things came true. I mean, there's 7 games over 500 right now. He talked about the 8, 9, 10 game winning streaks. Looks like they're about to have another one of those. They were 10 games back in the American League West. All of those things came true. Dana Brown, who certainly sounded like he was over-promising earlier this year, it's all come true.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta say, Dana, your faith, my God. That's the kind of thing that would turn me back to God.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, at the time, you just don't want to hear it, but you can't ignore how right he was. I mean, he's been saying it all along. I mean, you know, when they're the worst team in baseball or one of the 4 worst teams in baseball, and he's going on the radio every week, he's saying that we're going to win 8 to 10 games in a row, and then they lose the next 2 series in between his weekly appearances, you're just like, why are you doing that? Why are you saying this stuff? Like, why do you have to say it? Just let it come to fruition on its own. You don't have to do it. You know, Dana Brown, I give him credit that, you know, when the Astros were struggling, he was doing interviews on the MLB Network. He didn't have to do that. They acknowledged before this interview that they were shocked he agreed to do it because the Astros were playing so bad. But he's been right about everything. You know, I thought they should have been sellers. I didn't really believe. And at this point, like, there's no reason to doubt ever again. If they start slow next year.
Well, hang on. All of these things have come true. I think Dana should take a breath. I think you should take a breath. I think all of these things were fair to question. And I did question them at the time. He sounded a lot like a politician making all sorts of promises. Perhaps we should have all had a little more faith in the Astros based off of what we saw at the beginning of the year. They were, by their own standards, historically bad. But I'm not going to go so far as to say I will believe everything Dana Brown says going forward.
No, not Dana Brown, but just more in the team itself. Like, if they start slow again next year, I don't know what we're going to talk about because, like, I'm just not going to have it for those conversations again. Like, the Twitch is like, whatever, you guys can say whatever you want. Like, I'm tired of you. See you later. Close the window. But they are proving everyone wrong time and time again. Like, when you look at power rankings, when you listen to the national talking heads, when you listen to everyone locally, like, everyone besides the homers of homers fans and Dana Brown and the players themselves counted them out. And they've completely turned their season around. And now, like, it just, because it feels unrealistic. Like, they did things that have never been done before. Like, that's the thing. Like, what they have overcome is remarkable. To be 10 games back, to do it fast, to close that gap historically faster than any team has ever done it, it's shocking. Like, the idea that they could have made the playoffs, we talked about that. It was still there, but in the way that they've turned around and the way that they've just pushed the pedal to the metal and passed the 500 mark like this, it's incredible. Like, Dana Brown was right. We were wrong.
Every single year, King of Twitch says, never underestimate the heart of a champion. Joe, I mean, I did too. We all did.
True.
Chalupa Batman, this stuff is done every single year. This year was a little bit different. But Dana Brown deserves credit for having that kind of blind faith. It was a really bad start to the year. And right now, you got to be feeling chesty. And I feel like of all the people in the Astros organization, no one is more chesty than Dana Brown. Because he's also about to get Kyle Tucker and Justin Verlander back. This stretch that they have made of late has been awesome, but they've been the best team in baseball since mid-April.
It really is going to make April and May very hard to do next year. Where no matter what happens, we literally are just going to be like,
I know.
Because does
anything matter?
They were so bad. They're like 7-20. There's record. They're at records where it's like no team has ever had this record and made the playoffs.
Exactly.
And you're just like, oh, okay. I guess this doesn't matter anymore. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to. Might just do full schedule release talk in April. Just looking ahead to the schedule release because baseball doesn't matter.
Because it doesn't. Like, clearly. Like he used the Atlanta Braves example. I mean, there are certain teams that just, like, they find a way. And the Astros just proved once again, like, they have found a way. I mean, you know, if you do look back to 2020, maybe we should have learned a lesson from that. If you look back to the pandemic season, they started terribly, and obviously they had such a much smaller window and I would say more serious injuries, but they turned a corner in the 2020 season towards the back end to fight their way into that last playoff spot. And you can make the argument that if that was a normal 162-game season, well, the Astros without Justin Verlander and Yordan Alvarez might have just been the one seed then. And they might have just fully turned the corner. So even if Alex Bregman's gone and Justin Verlander's gone, until the Astros don't make the playoffs, like, they can do whatever they want. And I'm just going to believe that they're going to make the playoffs for the rest of time.
Lifetime
for the rest of time
to Alex Bregman.
Until Astros
make the playoffs for the rest of time.
Until they don't do it.
Oh, okay.
Until they actually prove us wrong.
Okay.
They go full Jeff Luhnow.
Wait a second. Hang on.
He'll believe that they make the playoffs until they don't make the playoffs.
And then I don't have to stick to that take anymore because then they failed.
Okay. It took me a second. That's not how predictions work. But no, and now I understand what you're saying.
Every year, there won't be a day where he's like, I don't know if they make the playoffs until they actually get eliminated.
Yeah. What if they're statistically eliminated?
What if they are the Chicago White Sox right now?
Nope. Don't care.
The White Sox are officially eliminated, right?
Nope.
No, they're not.
Okay. So you would still – I don't believe you. I think with the Chicago White Sox
– if they had a 20% winning percentage.
How are they not statistically eliminated? They're 41 and a half games out of the division. How are you 41?
How many games below 500 are they?
That requires math. They're 29 and 91.
So they're 70 games under 500.
Yeah.
But wait – they're 40 games out of the division?
And they're 36 and a half games back out of
that the seems wild like card. It doesn't add up. How are you that far below 500, but only that many games? Math. It evades us, as it always does.
A 242 winning percentage. Jesus.
Hey, there's still time.
Yeah, so I guess if it gets that bad.
Are we worried about the White Sox being red hot when they face the Astros later?
White hot Red Sox. White hot White Sox, yeah.
They did smash the Yankees 12-2, so...
Well, maybe they're hitting their stride. Maybe in a couple months we're looking back and we're like, how did the White Sox make the playoffs?
when they hired Grady Sizemore.
White Sox, Astros, and the ALDS? What?
I'd really love there to be a Chicago radio station that actually talks about the White Sox, which are the forgotten team in town, Joe, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
Right?
No one talks about them.
It would be really funny if they're – yeah, I think they just talk about them to make fun of the broadcast team. It would be really funny if they had a segment like this. Where they played a clip by one of their, like, completely over-optimistic, naive, young interns who was like, yeah, we're going to go back above 500 by the end of the year. And they do the same thing that I did and yell, Lizan Al-Ghaib afterwards. For those who don't know, that's from Dune. It means prophet. It's basically, like, in Dune. It's like the old JC of Dune, you will.
Or check it out on Max if you have.
Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
He's much cooler than Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker's a loser, dude.
But Luke Skywalker is based off of him.
Yeah, that's why he's worse.
I'm Luke. The only action I get in the whole series is when my sister kisses me.
That's a good point.
That's I'm
fact.
Luke.
That's a fact.
That's a good yeah. point.
Nerd. By the way, you got killed, almost killed by an old man. No one talks about that. Old man just electrocuted him yeah. to death.
Oh, I was thinking in when he gets his hand chopped off by his old man.
Ooh, that too.
He's like 1 in 2 lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great Jedi. Is he? Would he have even made it into the Academy?
He got the victory that mattered, though, with a little help.
What was the victory that mattered?
No, yeah. when his dumbass threw
his lightsaber on the ground and got electrocuted.
That's he was point. Lucky his dad was moron. There to bail him out.
Yeah, what a moron. Yeah,
dad did save the day.
He got beaten up by an effing, snow...
Wookiee thing?
A snow Bigfoot.
A snow
Bigfoot kicked his ass.
He blew up the Death Star.
1 in 3.
Yeah, if Han wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Han bailed him ass there, his ass out there. 1 in 4. 1 in 4. Luke's a loser.
Yeah, he beat those criminals with Jabba the Hutt. Congrats. Playing against mailmen.
He got beaten up at a bar. And then Obi-Wan had to cut off the guy's arm.
Also
1 in 6.
True.
What has he done? What has he done?
He ain't played nobody, Paul.
Imagine if he was at the SEC. 0-12.
He'd be Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
I mean, the stormtroopers that are in shooting at him like are legitimately... What kind of guns are they using? What are we doing here? Was the Galactic Empire giving all its money to Ukraine or something? Like, to fight a war? They're yeah. giving all their weapons away? What is going on?
They have a weapon that can blow up a planet. They also can't shoot anybody
Unbelievable.
With a regular gun.
All right, sorry. That was a rabbit hole. But Luke Skywalker, noted
bum.
Loser. Yeah. More like Luke Sky.
Right now.
Galata George, stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yiner drives one. High and deep to left field. Forget about it. 5-0 Astros. The fast break offense continues here in Tampa Bay after a huge weekend in Beantown.
Turning this place into the Thunderdome. Hey, bartender! Triple up! That's a Yiner bomb!
There it is.
There we go, Blummer.
I remember hearing the home run call. Where's my Yiner bomb? Come on.
He's waiting for it. I think it's my favorite one right now. I like it better than Ma the Meatloaf. Then again, Chaz McCormick doesn't do much to get those.
Yeah, that's the problem.
These days, so.
We would all like the Mom and Meatloaf because you yeah. don't hear it very much.
Yeah.
But we've been hearing a lot of Yiner bombs recently.
Mm-hmm.
The Breggy bomb's a little bit different. Doesn't remind me of any alcoholic concoctions.
It's just a salsa.
That's right.
It's just okay.
Just the overpriced rimming that you can give your margarita in center field. Or... on the third baseline at Minute Maid Park.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can rim your cup with a little pregarita, which means hot sauce and tahini. And it's like $4.
Huh.
And it's not worth it.
Hot sauce and
it's
tahini.
Not worth it. It's not worth it.
I've never tried that before. That sounds interesting, though. I won't pay $4 for it.
That's,
I'll, go to a I'll go to a different bar and yeah. have them do it. But I don't think I'll do it at Minute Maid.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a waste of money.
Rimming your cup seems like a waste of money?
At Minute Maid.
Okay. Yeah, Highway Cantina now.
That's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Good price.
$9.75 tall Texan margarita.
Mm.
All right. So it's not just that the Astros' offense is doing whatever it wants of late and pitchers are striking out everybody. It's also this news on the Astros' injury front. I think it's time for another episode with an update on Kyle Tucker. Of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Kyle Tucker yesterday afternoon did on-field work with crow hop throws, short distance side-to-side explosive movements, sounds a little sexual, some jogging and taking fly balls in left field, more than we've seen him do at any point since he went on the injured list, said Joe Espada of Kyle Tucker before yesterday's game. I think he's turning the corner. Now, it's we have to improve from what we saw today, being able to do more of that without him feeling soreness in the area. I think today was a good day.
All right. We'll see how today goes.
Yeah.
That's what we have to wait for now. See the soreness. I still thought the videos looked weird. It's still just like watching them from afar. It looked like he was not running with not a lot of effort.
That's a HIPAA violation. Not a lot of effort.
How dare you? It looked like he was just limping every single time he took a step still. I don't know.
You know, I'm going to watch this again because the way you've discussed it makes me feel like he's hobbling.
It was something that we talked about on the morning show where Brian McTaggart says, here's some bad video of Kyle Tucker running. And we're like, I know he's saying that the video is bad, like the quality of video is bad, but it also could be that Kyle Tucker's running badly. And
like every time he steps with his right foot, like it looks, I swear it looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, I see the video you're talking about right now. I mean, I'm holding a laptop to my face right now, and I have perfect vision. So these are very hard to see. Okay. And now he's sort of... Well, one of the videos, he looks fine. The one where he's catching the fly ball.
That's the one.
That one, yeah. He looks like he's walking a little suspect. The first video, I have no idea who's who at all. I could not tell you.
He's the one throwing the baseball.
But hey, credit. I mean, listen, I'm not hating. Brian McTaggart was giving us something. I mean, we've been so in the effing dark when it comes to Kyle Tucker. So at least we're getting something. Someone had the gall to record Kyle Tucker's rehab.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you, Tags. Yeah.
Came to Tropicana Field early. Probably wanted to swing by the Outback Steakhouse. I was like, wait, where'd
it
go?
It's not even here anymore. What's going on?
But Paul said it was here.
But you know what? Hey, maybe he's turning a corner. Dana Brown proved to us today, once again, that they know more than us. So,
I'm not ready to give Dana Brown diplomatic immunity with everything that he said.
I know. Joe is, but I think
as far as Astro team results on the field, sure.
Injuries. I'll give
I believe, and that's honestly me being like, I believe more in the Astros than I believe specifically in what Dana Brown is telling me, but
he's part of the Astros.
Yes, he is, but I'm talking about wins and losses, not will a guy play, because that has still been a lot of, we can dig out a lot of clips of him saying guys will play when they won't play, and they didn't, they ended up not playing.
Yeah.
It's the whole point of the segment.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that is the latest on Kyle Tucker. More updates from Joe Espada. Justin Verlander will throw another rehab start later this week. Luis Garcia not throwing. I think you were right, Joe. I think he's done.
Yeah.
Asked if the team is close to making a final decision on his season, Espada said, we're running out of days. I'm not in a position to say we're not going to see him for the rest of the year. The days are counting down.
Yeah, we're not going to see Luis Garcia this year.
I don't think so either.
I don't think...
It's a bummer, though.
It is a bummer.
He looked so good last year when he pitched before the injury.
Yeah, like what's the purpose now, besides potentially him getting hurt for next year? Like, just roll the dice with what you have. You acquired Yusei Kikuchi. You have surprises in Blanco and Brown and Arrigetti's turning around, it seems. Don't – you've already lost probably – like, no one thinks Lance is going to pitch next year. So
– It is going to be interesting to see if – I mean, you're right. With Lance McCullers, we're at the point where – never expect him to pitch again. We hope that he does. Christian Javier, also someone to think about. Will he pitch at all next season? Is that timeline going to line up? Is he a September? You would think, just given how cautious they are being with Luis Garcia, that probably is the case.
And Urquidy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing, is there's a lot of arms. That's a pretty good rotation, 1-4, but you have, and they're all injured, if they're healthy ever again. I don't know who Penn Murphy is, but we got an update on him.
Penn Murphy.
Yeah, he threw a 25-pitch live batting practice. I've never heard of him before. I don't know why that was posted, but hey.
He came from the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
In 2022, in...
His last name is Murphy, like yes. M-U-R-F-E-E.
In 64 games in 2022,
Irish he had spelling. A
2.99 ERA.
I'm Irish, I can say that.
And then in 16 games last year, he had a 1.29
okay.
ERA for the Mariners. So, I mean, he's got a career 2.7 ERA.
Hell yeah, dude.
But, like, I don't really know who he is still.
It's yeah.
Murphy time.
It's very much a name, and especially the spelling of it, makes him seem like a guy who gets thrown out of the saloon in a Old West bar. He's too drunk at the bar, and he gets thrown through a plate glass window.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's what Pin Murphy, the name, is giving me. Hopefully I see him pitch, so I have a different thought on him.
Bryce Matthews, we know why he got scratched. From that start with the Sugarland Space Cowboys about a week ago, he has back muscle spasms.
Okay.
Get a chiropractor. And
a little massage?
Yeah, a little massage, deep tissue. And Dax Azenzo is taking fly balls in left field.
Okay. So they clearly want to see him out there. I mean, that might say more about Chaz McCormick and Pedro Leon than it does about anything else. That they might just want to put him in left field and... I know they said specifically at home is where they would look at it, and then I guess have Singleton play first base. But probably not good for Pedro Leon, I would imagine.
Hell yeah.
He's probably not going to be up here much longer.
I know we'll get to that.
I know we're going to get to it.
We'll get to that.
I don't appreciate it.
You're punching down John McClain like you're Joe George with that one. That wasn't nice.
I mean, I will say,
the trough is a hard place to play.
All I know is on our rundown today, it says a Hall of Famer pulled the Joe George.
Yeah, he pulled
the
Joe George.
I think that's a win for me.
Says McClain.
Yeah. Not a real Hall of Famer. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
713-780-3776 to call in to text in. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We are 23 days away from the start of the NFL season. There is only one number 23 you should be thinking about in Houston, Texas. Stick around.
What's up, my friends at O Athletics, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights. You can check them out at oathletic.com. When you go to oathletic.com, you can see over the 100 classes that they offer throughout the week, whether you're going to do weightlifting, agility training, you want to dip into Brazilian jiu-jitsu or boxing classes. There's also different like entry points where you don't have to have any experience doing those if you want to try out one of the classes. They start off early in the morning. They take a break during the day, and they pick back up right around 4:30 so you can go right after work. You can get personal training while you're there. They will fit to your schedule. We're going to do it one day a week to 5 days a week. They'll work around you. It's a great gym to go to. I always love going there. I love grabbing a coffee on my way out. It's always a good time at O Athletic. Check them out, oathletic.com.
Second down and four at the 26. Here's Foster. Oh, boy. Foster down the sideline. Foster still running. Coach, he'll be in the game. Touchdown. Ha-ha. Arian Foster, 74 yards.
You know, based off of going through old Houston Texans highlights, it seems like Gus Johnson was on the call for a lot of Texans games back in the day, and I miss that.
I do, too.
It would be nice to have somebody that's as unique as Gus Johnson calling your games when it's the D or E team over at CBS. But guess what? This year, the Houston Texans, they're going to be getting probably some Nance and Romo games.
Mm-hmm.
Prime time, baby. Not just the night games. Not just Christmas. You're going to be seeing a lot of Houston Texans in 2024. But that is Arian Foster, number 23. The best in franchise history as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. This is my favorite Arian Foster moment. And I cannot believe that this took place 10 years ago. I still remember going on Sports Talk Live on Comcast Sportsnet Houston this day, where moments before, after having called James Harden a douche for how he was talking about Chandler Parsons on TV, shout out to me, Pioneer, I was the only person that thought this was awesome. Everyone else was incensed and angry by how rude Arian Foster was in this media availability during the Bill O'Brien era.
How do you feel? Were you 100% out there today, Aaron?
Yeah, man, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be, and
and I'm going to work hard at doing that.
Physically, you're good to go?
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, man.
Eric, can you tell us exactly what kept you out? What's going on?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, you know. I'm going to work hard at doing that.
But what was physically wrong?
Yeah, I'm just out here, man, just, you know, working hard every single day, trying to be the best teammate I can be.
What did it mean to be able to get back out here and start working?
Yeah, you know, being with your teammates and being the best teammate you could be is like, you know, it's what you strive to do, so that's what I'm out here doing.
Your teammates talk about how they want to see you out here. They know what you mean to this ball club. What does all that stuff mean to you, Aaron?
Yeah, man, just when you're the best teammate you could be, man, you know, just work hard at doing that every single day, you know. That's what we out here trying to do.
Your body's starting to break down?
Yeah, man, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, you know, and I'm going to work hard at doing that.
How's that coming, Aaron, with your progress of being a better teammate?
Yeah, you know, just every single day just trying to be a better teammate, man.
What do you think about these fans going crazy for you guys?
Yeah, man, I'm just, you know, out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, and I'm going to continue doing that.
Aaron, any difference in how you felt today?
Yeah, man, you know, I was out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, day in, day out, man, and I'm just going to continue working hard doing that.
What was the offseason like working at your brother's facility? Different than other previous seasons?
Yeah, just every single day, man, just working hard trying to be the best teammate I can be.
You got that down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Y'all take care.
Berman was pissed. All the voices.
They're trying.
All the voices asking questions there. There's James Palmer, who was at the NFL Network for a while, but also at CSN Houston. I heard David Dilotti, who I think was holding the ESPN 97.5 microphone for that. I think Tanya Ganguly, who used to cover the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, asked the question. And, of course, you heard Mark Berman along the way. That was awesome.
I give them all credit a little bit for trying. At some point, I'm walking away. So, after, like, the third time you said it, I think I'm out.
No, you got to stay. You got to get that entire thing. He walked so Marshawn Lynch could run.
Mm. Now, what was...
Here's the backstory.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien had told the team they don't know anything about talking to the media, and that the only answer the team should give is, I'm just trying to be a good teammate. So perhaps Arian Foster wasn't the biggest Bill O'Brien fan from the get-go, because this was before Bill O'Brien's first year coaching the team. This was 2014.
Gotcha.
He got crushed for this.
I'm sure he did.
He should not have been crushed for this. This was one of the first moments where I realized that sports media takes itself far too seriously. This was funny and gave us something to talk about. And I want to say either May or June. It was great. And people were pissed. Pissed.
Yeah, this is one of those where people take themselves too seriously. Like, he doesn't want to answer questions. Like, it's not, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
I don't understand. Like, I know we've gone back and forth with this, like with like the Twitchers and stuff, and people on YouTube and text line about, you know, like you answering questions honestly. But like, if you don't want to answer questions, I do think it's dumb how they force everyone to meet with the media at all times. Like, he clearly does not want to talk to anyone. If it's not during like real season action, just don't make them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, and because it always gets blown out of proportion. Like, nothing that happened there was wrong.
It's true.
It's funny, though. I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I think Mark Berman's my favorite part, though. Because he's just like...
Berman, you could tell, he's just disgusted by this.
Yeah. He's going. Like, he just keeps asking.
I don't know who it was, but there was someone who started like playing along, almost. They're like, yeah, so...
James Palmer.
Yeah. And that...
Because James thought it was also, I think, amusing. Just based off of the way he was asking that question.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy, is the, like, trying to throw him a lob to say, I'm trying to be the best teammate I can be.
Yeah. But that was not meant as a shot at Houston media. And yet, every person in the Houston media was like, rah!
Well, because he's not mad at them. Like, that's why they always get, like, that's why I don't understand when media gets upset about this stuff. It's because they take it personal when, like, it's clearly not personal. Like, this isn't what happened in Tennessee, mm-hmm. or what happened with Deion Sanders in Colorado when he said he wouldn't answer that guy's question because he works for CBS. Like, Arian just didn't want to talk.
Arian Foster has some fun moments. When he was I think, asked like on a podcast or something like that. He claimed that he could. No, this is on Twitter. He claimed that he could kill a wolf if a wolf pounced on him. And as brought up by Chalupa Batman on our Twitch, Arian Foster refused interview requests with the Texans after a actually check that. This is with Tennessee. When asked about an upcoming game, he responded speaking pterodactyl, going feet, feet, feet. I didn't know pterodactyl sounded like
that. I didn't either. Someone in this article from SB Nation put his entire thread of him explaining why he can beat a wolf. He talks because he has thumbs. They're not intelligent. He keeps bringing up thumbs.
I mean, the wolf gets your neck, you're done. But if you can keep the wolf from getting your neck, you're good.
Yeah. This is one's my favorite. He says, also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs.
Didn't play
advantage,
in the SEC.
Me.
He didn't play in the SEC, that wolf.
You're right.
We have a couple of updates as far as NFL trade requests. The Jets have told Hassan Reddick, F off. We're not trading you. They even released a statement saying that we're not trading him. Does that mean that they're actually open to trading him or are trying to drive up the market? Perhaps. But it sounds like Reddick, one, is asking for about $25 million a year, ooh, which is a lot. Reddick has a lot of numbers. Do those numbers merit pay? I'm not so sure about that. He claimed at his introductory press conference with the Jets, whatever happens, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to give my all no matter what. Now he is not practicing and has requested a trade from a team he was traded to this offseason and has yet to play a snap for.
Yeah, it seems like they had like a framework of a deal done when they made the deal, but it fell apart. And then they were just like, we'll figure it out. And now they can't figure it out.
Meanwhile, we have this update on Brandon Ayuk from Ian Rappaport, and this update is hilarious. The Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. Well, then they don't have a deal. What are you talking about?
I think it's the second part is why they have to get the sign-off.
San Francisco has an offer out to AU continued Rappaport on a long-term deal for him to stay that he hasn't accepted.
So I think it's like Ayuk's going to sign this deal with us, or we're going to, or the deal is done with Pittsburgh.
Well, that's what I mean. Neither deal's done.
Yeah, I mean,
if this happens, yeah, no bleep. If anything happens, yeah, it'll be done.
Yeah, especially because with Ayuk, who's turned down two contracts already. One with, I can't remember the second team, but one with the Patriots. And then I can't remember who the other, the Browns, where the deals were done, trades were completed, or ready to go, but Ayuk didn't want to play for those teams. So if he actually wants to play for Pittsburgh, this feels like there'll be some kind of resolution within the next couple days where he'll do one or the other, and then all of a sudden he won't, like, maybe he'll just hold out and play for no teams. Like, that wouldn't shock me at this point either.
Could be that. One more possible trade. The New England Patriots and Matthew Judon, their best player, are not in a good spot as far as contract negotiations. He wants more money. I think he's still showing up for practice. I even think he dressed for their preseason game against the Panthers. But multiple teams have called about trading for Judon. So we'll see if he ends up getting traded. Also, there's a Super Bowl quarterback available, Joe, who wants to play.
I saw this. Are we still doing this?
What do you mean?
We're still doing this with Colin Kaepernick.
Doing what? He's a Super Bowl quarterback and he wants to play.
It's been 7 years.
Racist.
7 years.
Unbelievable.
Since he's played in the NFL. Like, we're getting into, like, T.O. territory here.
Well, T.O.'s 50.
I know, but T.O. was doing this, like, 7 years after he played. He's still doing it.
Colin Kaepernick's 36.
Are we going to be doing this for the next 14 years with Colin Kaepernick?
I think we have to do it until Colin Kaepernick is officially not the oldest quarterback in the NFL. Would he return to the NFL? And we still got a couple of years.
Yeah.
Still got a couple of years. Aaron Rodgers still in the game. There's some other 36-year-old quarterbacks.
I never really understood the Kaepernick thing because, like, he wanted a certain level of contract so he wouldn't play in, like, the UFL or the XFL because he thinks it's below him. But he wants an opportunity to show that he can still play football. But
yep.
He turns down those opportunities. I don't get it. Like, maybe he is just blackballed. But it's been 7 years.
Yeah, that's been 7 years.
I'm not. There's no way.
Because you're a racist. It's fine. It's fine.
That's not fair.
What? You're saying you're not giving a man a chance? man who took a team to a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because he wasn't that good of a quarterback. He could run really well.
He was that year. Hey, I mean, that's kind of racist, dude. Where are you, Bill Polian?
Because he was awesome at running the football.
Going to move him to wide receiver?
He could run. No. I didn't say that. He could just run very well.
I'm just reading between the lines.
No. Too many line reading. Too much line reading?
Too much line reading would work.
That was better.
I think it's crazy that he's also still trying to get back in. I mean, look, if he wanted to get back in, he should have played at the lower levels and kicked ass at those lower levels. I think there's also a bunch of organizations that believe that if he were a backup, he would be a distraction. I don't actually think that's the case. But there's also a dynamic of he sued the league. So if you're one of these teams that he sued, do you want to hire him?
Yeah, but the guy who sued the league with played, to be fair, Eric Reed, mm-hmm. Justin's brother.
True.
So he still played.
But Eric Reed was never as much of a focal point on this 100%. Front as Kaepernick was.
Yeah.
This all started, by the way, when he was a backup to Blaine Gabbert with the San Francisco 49ers. How he became a backup after being a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that is a fascinating story that I want to get to the bottom of. He actually did, in a 20-minute press conference, say a lot of things that I thought were accurate, and that is one of your rights as an American citizen, is that you can protest the national anthem or whatever, in whatever method you choose. There's also potentially going to be blowback, and Americans have the right to have said blowback against you. But there are a lot of other things along the way after the fact that he did that were, in my opinion, stupid. The pig socks, acting like Cuba has great education. Yeah, it's called re-education. So he did have a moment, but yeah, he's not playing in the league again. Anyway. Let's go on in Georgia, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John McClain, Joe George.
One and the same.
One and the same. I say that because the Astros, in the midst of a winning streak, they've won 6 in a row. The offense is looking good. The pitching is looking good. But they've also been calling up some minor leaguers. Zach DiCenzo, who's getting some opportunities potentially in the near future in left field. He was taking batting practice in left field yesterday. And Pedro Leon. Pedro Leon, if you missed it last night, tried very hard to make a catch down the right field line. He lost the ball in the roof of Tropicana Field. And a lot of people are not happy with that. I think it is very difficult to catch a ball at Tropicana. It's one of the things that makes Tropicana such a special place to play baseball. That, and it used to have an Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, used to.
Doesn't have one anymore, but it does have air conditioning. And it has a catwalk that often interferes with the actual play.
Mm-hmm.
John McClain tweeted this about Pedro Leon. Fans in Sugarland love Pedro Leon. He'll be back soon. Damn, John. That's like when Joe George killed Blair Henley's chances of ever pitching in the major leagues again by burying him in the center of the earth.
I mean, to be fair, Pedro Leon has had way more chances to succeed than Blair Henley.
Why?
He's had more appearances. He's 2 for 18.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 for 17.
Sorry. So it's a bigger sample size of, that great.
Yeah. So I think John's is more fair than my own.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend John here a little bit. But
punching down.
It made me laugh, though. It made me giggle.
It's a random crowbar to take to the back of a rando's head. I actually think there's legitimate excuse for how difficult it is to read the roof at Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
I can totally understand losing a ball in that roof.
Also playing Major League Baseball. That's also hard.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm willing to give him more than 18 at-bats.
These guys are all learning new ballparks. Like, it's not everything's going to be super easy, and not everyone can be Joey Loperfido in the field and make it look like it's the easiest job on planet Earth.
Joey Loperfido, by the way, has 19. I think he has 19 strikeouts and 43 at bats.
Paul punching down now.
I'm not. Now. I'm reading the stats.
Oh, okay.
Just like you were, but
facts only.
When I say it, it's different.
But Will Wagner 3 for 4.
Will Wagner 3 for 4 in his Blue Jays debut last night. Are you going to punch down on Will Wagner?
No.
Because I actually don't think he ever was going to play for the Astros.
I don't either. But it's, hey, you know what? He's in Toronto at least. It's just, the tweet made me laugh. I will say, like, thinking about the Arian Foster interview and then this tweet from John McClain, I think John McClain and Mark Berman, the retired versions of them, is they're both very
funny. Whoa, you calling John McClain retired? That's ageist. Racist and ageist in the same segment, John.
I guess he didn't retire, technically. That's my bad. Sorry, John.
The game is the game.
Okay, let me rephrase. John, since he left the Chronicle and could speak more freely, is more fun.
I feel like John is exactly the same as he's always been, and that's the best part.
Not on social media.
I wish Mark Berman was like this before. No, I think John was always like this. John would drop a bunch of P-bombs, pathetic, on insert player over the course of a Texans game.
Yeah.
That's why everyone loves him outside of Houston, because this is a guy who shows up, asks all the tough questions, and in the middle of the game was just saying, like, yeah, this is pathetic.
Where was
pathetic.
John? Where was McClain in that Arian Foster interview?
Good question. I don't think he was there for that one.
He probably heard the, I'm just trying to be a good teammate, and walked away because he knew what he was about to be.
He might have just sat in the background as well. No, listen, when you're the general, you don't have to stand in those very uncomfortable scrums. I remember one time there was a TV camera guy, and I almost got in a tussle with him because he pulled the back of my Lacoste polo, and me, hothead, was much more of a hothead in my early 20s. I guess I was in the way of his camera shot, and he tugged the back of my shirt. And I remember afterwards, I was like, "Who's that?"
The TV people in those scrums, they think that they just like own the place. So that doesn't surprise
me. I would just say it's the most miserable experience as a reporter is a bunch of people standing around somebody, angling to hold a microphone to their face so the sound quality sounds a little bit better. And of course, in radio, this is a really important thing to do. Now you have to add a camera to the side of things. So you're holding one hand is your cell phone, and the other with a camera, the other hand, you're holding a microphone. And yeah, I hate that. I absolutely hate it. These are the struggles that we, members of the media, it's our burden.
We the people. These are our struggles.
McClain's never had to do that. McClain has people to do that for him.
Yeah,
it must be nice.
That's very true. He does.
It must be nice.
So did Berman, to be fair.
Standing in there, trying to hold a microphone up to reach high enough for Dwight Howard's face.
Why do you think I don't go to these things?
A million basketballs bouncing in the background, just completely ruining the actual audio quality as it was, making the entire point of me going there completely pointless. I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's why I don't go to these things. Because I need a step stool, though.
Yeah, it's tough.
I could really only talk to, like, Tank Dell and Jose Altuve.
No, it's
sorry, Tank. Really just Jose Altuve.
I remember when Ozzie Guillen swore at me, for those who don't know, the first time I ever reported a sports event, Ozzie Guillen told me to grow the bleep up, mother bleeper. And I remember I was there. I was like, why am I here? Why am I getting paid $15 an hour to report on an Astros-Marlins game with both of these teams in last place? What am I doing here? And I remember thinking to myself, well, at least I'm going to earn my $15. And so I asked Ozzy if like things had relaxed in Miami after he said he loved Fidel Castro, and he didn't like it.
I didn't realize that the Astros were in last place.
Oh, dude, this is...
Yeah, this was that. Like 2012.
Astros, I couldn't remember. This
is when I did not watch the Astros at all.
Yeah, Ozzy
could not
for
be
some
bothered
reason,
to watch them.
I felt like it wasn't that long ago that he was in Miami, but it was like 12 years ago.
It was when they built the new ballpark.
I know, it feels forever ago. But like at the same time, not.
And they lied to the people of Miami saying that they were going to spend money on the roster.
Nope.
And they signed a bunch of free agents that year and then
liars.
Traded them at the deadline.
Liars.
Anyways, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Houston Texans training camp practice wrapped up earlier this afternoon. What happened today? We'll discuss that and more. Stick around. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.